Thank you for the reading, Mark. Whatever's going on in our lives, whatever we're concerned about at the moment, may the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with us, and may he speak through me now by his Spirit. Amen. If we could have the first slide up, please. Thank you very much. This is our topic for this morning, engaging mission. It's also the topic for Headingley evening today and Crag next week. Please keep Peter in your prayers too as he preaches at Crag this morning on what he preached here last Sunday morning, using spiritual disciplines. We're in a sermon series on the Inspire movement and their way of life, which is based on Jesus's way of life. And you can see there, engaging mission is our topic for today. There's a really special day coming up. It's Saturday the 28th of March. Whether you've heard me speak about this already or not, I would encourage everybody who is able to sign up, to register to come on that free day of teaching, of fellowship, of food, and of all of this material being pulled together. And there'll be a chance to have practical experience on that day of what it all means. It's a really significant thing coming up in church life. And if you don't know how to sign up, or it just feels like a bit too much hard work, just tell me your name and any dietary requirements, and I'll sign you up like that this afternoon. And in fact, that will give me so much joy to be able to do that. If you're part of a small group, you are... I think you're following this along. You've got materials in which to do that. And just to say, if you are part of a small group, the order of the topics in the resources that you have are slightly different to the sermon series. It's not an accident. It's intentional. It will make more sense why on the 28th of March, but I'm just letting you know now. The eagle-eyed, or those with good memories among you, will remember that engaging in mission is one of our values as a church. It's something we care about. So it's really important and good that it's come up again. And if you know and you love the Lord Jesus here this morning, then this message is for you. It's relevant for all of us. Today's reading shows how we can be everyday missionaries. I'll be talking about that as we think about engaging in mission. And if you haven't been able to hear the first couple of talks in this series taken from this Headingley morning gathering, they are online. They are worth listening to. This builds on those. What we heard in those first two sermons is that we need a deep relationship with God and a deep hunger for more of God in our lives. We've also heard that using spiritual disciplines brings us into God's presence so that he can meet that hunger. We don't meet that hunger. He meets that hunger. This third sermon is about the natural outcome of going deeper with God, namely the overflow of his love in our life, or his life in our life. And we engage in sharing his love, or we engage in mission as a response to God's love welling up in us. We've got something to share, folks. The point of being filled with God's love, though, is not just to feel full and nice. The point of being filled with God's love is so that we might overflow with his love, his life, his goodness, into the world around us, wherever we go throughout the week. If I was to ask you how you came to faith, if you're a believer, your answer might be similar to mine. You might think of a person who played a significant role in loving you into God's family, in being a witness. I don't know if that resonates with any of you. It's not everybody's experience. For me, there was also an Alpha course involved. Please pray for Alpha, as tomorrow evening, every guest will have the chance, if they want to pray to receive the Holy Spirit. Significant times, folks. For me, Jesus wasn't shoved down my throat. There's this image of Christians, isn't there, that if you come near us, we're going to hit you with a Bible, or, I don't know, we're just going to alienate you by judging you or something. That's not the Jesus way. The Jesus way is love. If you have people in your homes or families or workplaces who aren't yet following Jesus, it is hard. But do take heart that they are looking at your life, and your everyday life and how you live that for Jesus is a witness. It's a mission field. God is using you. So do be encouraged, if that's you, to keep going, but also to keep praying. I wonder if I was to ask this question, are there any ordinary people here today who would put their hand up? Are there any ordinary people here today? Do you know, I really feel sometimes, thank you for doing that, you know, I really feel sometimes that I'm very ordinary. And actually, if my life was a Mr. Man story, I'd probably be Mr. Ordinary. Although I've got an amazing God and an amazing wife, I'm pretty ordinary, I think. Sometimes we think we can be tempted, when pride creeps in, to think we're quite special. And don't hear what I'm not saying here. Every one of us is special in God's eyes. Every one of us was worth dying for in God's eyes. Every one of us is made in the image of God and uniquely loved by God. Yet, God loves people who are ordinary. Let me tell you, you know, the first disciples weren't recruited because of their university degrees. They were ordinary bods. Fishermen. Peter was a fisherman who, pretty much every time we hear about him in the Gospels when he's fishing, catches nothing. Ordinary bods. But you see, God can do a lot with our ordinariness. He can transform our lives and take our ordinariness and do something extraordinary with it. That's what it means to be an everyday missionary. To realize we have a hope to share, a love to share, a life to share, to ask God to fill us with more of that life, and pray that his love would overflow wherever he sends us throughout the week. I've been reminded this week that this coronavirus situation is actually an opportunity to bring hope in the place of fear. A number of people have reminded me of that. One of them's in this room, and I thank you. We have not been given a spirit of fear. We need to exercise common sense, and I believe we are as a church. But we've also got a gospel of hope that can transform every life, every situation. And as people are afraid right now, our message is perhaps even more obviously relevant in some key ways. The context of our reading, which Mark brought to us, is that the disciples were huddled together in a locked room. You could say they'd isolated themselves. They weren't afraid of a virus. They weren't taking advice from the government. They were afraid of the Jews. What were the Jews going to do to them now that they've seen that their friend and their master betrayed, brutally beaten and killed? They were afraid. And then in verse 19, Jesus appears. We can sweep over this, so I'm going to mention it. The door was shut. The door was locked. Jesus appeared through the locked door. That's a miracle in itself. The resurrection is too, by the way. So is forgiveness of sins. And the hope that we have to share is a miracle. How God changes our lives day by day is miraculous. But I'm just trying to say, here's a miracle right here that we can overlook. Jesus appearing in a room where the door was locked. He was there. And no wonder he said, "Peace be with you." Surely the disciples, what's going on here? Surely they were afraid. It's like when the angels came in the New Testament. "Peace be with you" was the first thing they said. Jesus told them that they are to be sent just as he had been, sent to engage in mission. And if the next slide comes up, please. These are the three points I'm making today. I acknowledge they're not massively punchy, but there they are. And this slide will stay up for a bit. We are sent to be with others. That's the first point. The second is we are sent for the sake of others. And the third is, we are sent for the transformation of others. Being sent as Jesus was means these three things. So first, let's look at sent to be with others. Jesus was never under the impression that he was on earth by accident. He knew that he'd been sent on a mission by God. And that mission defined his entire life. Jesus was constantly aware of every day there being opportunities for him to share the love of God, to proclaim the coming kingdom, and to do miracles that would show that that was the case. Whether Jesus was visiting friends, at social events, traveling, or having time off, he was aware that he was on mission. If you're going to remember one thing from the talk this morning, remember all of it. And if you can't do that, remember this sentence. I'll say it twice. If you're writing it down, it might be helpful to do that. Jesus didn't do mission because his life was mission. Jesus didn't do mission because his life was mission. We might think we're going on mission now. Yes, you are. But when that activity stops, you're also still on mission, but in a different way. And if Jesus is our Lord and Savior, Master, Friend, Role Model, the one we aspire to become more like, then we really need to get this. He didn't do mission, his life was mission. Being sent as Jesus was challenges our idea that I think we can all have, that we have an everyday life of work, rest, relationships, play, friendships, responsibilities. And then we somehow kind of try and fit Christian life and mission into those things. That's not reality. What we call everyday life is the mission field that God has sent us out into and equipped us for. Consider for a moment, please, just in the quiet, who are the people you see on a daily basis? Public transport, at home, work, any social clubs you go to, shopping, neighbours. How might it affect the way that we think about them if we constantly thought of ourselves as being sent to those people by God? This is what we're going to be focusing on this evening, by the way. If we could have the next slide up, please. This one will stay up for quite some time. And it asks the questions, am I aware of being sent into daily life by Jesus? And am I following the Spirit's lead? And in the small writing at the bottom, it says, do you want help to engage in mission? Sign up for the 28th of March today. In John's Gospel, where our reading took place, I really like Andrew. And every time we hear about Andrew, he is bringing somebody different to Jesus. There would have been times, though, when Andrew wasn't doing that. Times when he was eating, times when he was sleeping, whatever. But he was still always a disciple, and he was still always on mission. Just as his master was, Jesus, always on mission. I wonder what's waiting for you at home after this service. Don't get too distracted by it right now. But I wonder what's waiting for you. Which tasks you might have to do, which people you might be in contact with. The mission doesn't stop. We often split our time into things that need doing, going from one thing to the next. But missional discipleship, something we're all called to as Christians, it's about being ready to be used by God at all times, in all places. The mission doesn't stop. I think if we're honest, though, and I'll be honest, sometimes the last thing I want to do is go and tell someone about Jesus. Sometimes that is far from my mind. Sometimes even praying is far from my mind. I acknowledge that as a fallible Christian who seeks to grow in these things. hopefully to give you some hope that you might not be the only one if that resonates with you. But we have to be ready. Last summer, Rach and I went to the Keswick Convention. Does anyone like the Keswick Convention? Yeah. And there were some other cornerstoners there. As we were there, we realised quite quickly that you have to pay to park in most places in Keswick, okay? And if you're one of these Christians who prays for parking spaces and advocates that, please don't come and talk to me about that at the end. Because I really believe, although God cares about the small parts of our life, there are bigger things to pray for, like the fact people are dying every day without knowing Jesus. Anyway, this one particular day, late in the week, we hadn't managed to get our free parking spot in this one little area that we found. And I won't tell you where it is in case you go next time and we're in a bit of a battle. We were running a little bit close to the wire as it was on this particular day. We couldn't get our free parking space. What we had to do, we had to go and pay for parking, which we could call a first world problem, really, if we're honest. But we're running a little bit late. We got into the car park. We were the only people around but for two others. And one of them, in that moment, tripped over and broke her arm. And it was difficult, but for her especially. But we were able to show love and support, phone for the paramedics to come and just be with them and try and be reassuring until they did and had proper care. We didn't give a 4-point gospel presentation to this lady. She was in agony. But we tried to show the love of Jesus in that moment. And we pray that in some way, something helped them grow closer to him. I wish I had a better example than that, of a time when we saw someone converted on the street. But that hasn't happened for a very long time for me. But we have to be ready. Because wherever we are, even if we're unaware that God has sent us to that place, we live in a needy world. The biggest need being Jesus. And we have a hope to share that can transform people's world. What I love about the Inspire movement is that they can really help us to be ready for this stuff, for daily being sent into the world by God, to be used by him. As a church, you know, we support some wonderful people in overseas mission. We really do. And when they come back to Leeds, though, they are still on mission, just in Leeds, just not in those countries that we sent them to. But God has sent them into daily life here until he sends them back out there. And we too are missionaries in Leeds, if that's where we live. So in a nutshell, all disciples are missionaries all the time, sent into the world every day by God to be used by him in word and deed to proclaim the love of Jesus, the gospel in word and deed. Joining in with God's mission, I think we can sometimes overcomplicate it. I think we can sometimes let fear stop us from going. What can help us with that is a realization that we've already been sent. We don't have to even create the opportunities sometimes. We need to be aware of what the Holy Spirit's doing and respond to those. You see, we haven't been left alone in mission. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Receive the Holy Spirit." We already have the best co-worker in mission that we could want. Being sent as Jesus was also means being sent for the sake of others. Jesus had some great methods of engagement, and looking at his life, we can realize and appreciate that mission is not just about being with people. We can go and be with other people as much as we want, but there has to be an openness to being used by God. There has to be some level of intention about why we're doing that thing. Why has God got us in that situation? What does he want us to say? Even just to drop something in to get people thinking. Jesus had a distinct presence. He was the Holy One in an unholy world, showing people what a human life could look like if it was fully open and yielded to God. Sometimes today we might major on fitting in and being relevant, but the danger of that is we're called to be in the world and not of the world, and we can conform to the world if we're not careful. I was at a conference this week and one of the speakers said he was swimming in the sea one day, and after a while he wanted to go back to land and find, you know, his dry clothes and his flip-flops and everything. And he was astounded by the fact when he got back to the beach that someone had nicked his clothes. And then he looked a bit harder and he realized and was astounded by his opinion that someone had moved his clothes. What he actually said was his clothes were in the same place, but he hadn't noticed the power of the water just moving him along ever so subtly. That can be us in the world if we don't stand firm on what the Bible teaches. It really can be true. Jesus wasn't led by the culture of his day. He engaged with his culture by constantly taking his bearings from his Father in heaven. His time in prayer alone with his Father meant that he could live a life where he only did and said what his Father wanted. I wonder how close do you and I come to being able to say that we put God first in all things. Another striking thing about Jesus is that he described himself as the servant. First century Jews, we probably know, they expected their Messiah to come in authority and with conquering military power. Jesus had authority, all right, and he certainly saw himself as the Messiah. But he knew that the good news of the gospel was meant to be offered as an act of loving service to the world. Jesus defined normal discipleship as being a choice to live as a servant of God for the sake of others. And the attitude of a servant is actually critical to us being everyday missionaries. Servants tend to work quietly and gently. Like a butler, actually, just as an illustration, to think about something visual. The butler doesn't want to be noticed. They don't want any credit, but they are there whenever they're needed. It says in the book of 1 Peter, always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that is within you, but do this with gentleness and respect. That's why I like the butler image, if it helps you. But it makes being an everyday missionary seem doable, I hope. The fact it's not all on us, it's not all on how well we present the gospel, although it does help if we, you know, become more familiar with it and grow in confidence as we seek to do that. Let's serve so God can be seen, not us. Let's serve with humility and let Jesus shine through. There are some people, if you've got a job especially, you may be the only Christian in that team or in that workplace. People are looking at your life and God is using you. Be encouraged by that fact. The third thing that being sent as Jesus was means is being sent for the transformation of others. We ourselves have been transformed, and if we continue to be open to God and what his Holy Spirit wants to do in us, we continue to be transformed. What we call justification happens the moment we're saved. And because of the death and resurrection of Jesus in our place, God looks at us just as if I'd never sinned. Justification happens instantly. Sanctification, though, takes the rest of our life, becoming more like Jesus day by day. Sometimes we might even notice how it's happening, but it is if we are open to him and following him with everything we've got. There is no end point. Either we die or Jesus returns. Whatever happens first, that's the end point. Until then, we are people with a hope to share. We are people who can be changed by him more and more from glory into glory if we are open. Please don't think you've ever arrived. Heaven, by the way, is an exception to that. We are sent for the transformation of others. So every disciple of Jesus is to be an everyday missionary, sent into daily life's routines to seek the God-created opportunities to serve those who we meet. God creates chances for us to share his love with those around us. We might call them divine appointments. But the question is, do we respond to them when they come? Jesus sent his first disciples. He sends us too, except our mission field looks very different. What's amazing, though, is we have the same power supply that Jesus had, the person of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit descended like a dove onto his life, into his life. And in our passage, he breathed that same Spirit into those nervous first disciples. Jesus' life under the anointing of the Holy Spirit meant that many people's lives were transformed. Let's think about some examples. The first disciples were transformed from fishermen to apostles who God did some amazing things through. Zacchaeus, from a dishonest tax collector to a generous philanthropist. Mary, from a social outcast to a special friend. Legion, from a demonized mess into a delivered missionary. The Holy Spirit changes lives as people see and respond to Jesus in us. I hope this takes the pressure off being a witness to some extent. And Jesus doesn't send the disciples out without breathing his Spirit upon them. If you want to be filled with the Spirit, like I hope and pray that our guests on Alpha will, ask. We keep on being filled. We need to keep on being filled, as Paul writes, because we leak, we sin, we forget about God, we get distracted. We need more of the Holy Spirit in our lives daily. Jesus breathed on his disciples. He didn't say, stay here and sing, Be Thou My Vision for a bit. He didn't say, stay here and have a nice Bible study in your holy huddle. He said, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. Receive the Holy Spirit. And the secret to Jesus' effectiveness in his own mission, it's not just that he was God's son, both fully human and fully God. No. If you saw the Mark drama last week, you will have seen what was the secret to Jesus' success in his mission. They kept saying, where's Jesus? The disciples did. Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Oh, he's praying. Again. They were like teenagers, complaining. Because adults don't complain, do we? That's where Jesus' life came from. That's where his power came from. That's how he was always ready to do the will of the Father. Would you like to do the same? I hope so. Otherwise, this is all a waste of time. And actually, being a Christian is, really. If we don't want the life that Jesus calls us to, we are wasting his time and ours. Being sent as Jesus was means engaging with everyday life, believing that God has sent us to this place, this time, this group of people for these purposes. More on this evening. It means being present in everyday life as a servant of God for the sake of others. And if we are living this life, which we can, we will be sharing Jesus without even trying to force it. Remember the overflow that I talked about? We will be more in touch with what the Holy Spirit is saying to us on a daily basis than we ever have been. We will see miracles and dare to believe and dare to pray. He can do the impossible, right? We've proclaimed it already today, and he wants to use us as his agent to do the impossible. All of this is possible only through Jesus and only through the Spirit he sends. Even in West Yorkshire. Am I right? This has been described as a very difficult place to reach. Not Headingley, not just Leeds, but West Yorkshire in general. Statistically, this is known as a pretty dry spiritual climate. God wants to use you. I can't look at you all right now, but he wants to use you and he wants to use me to bring hope to this dry place. We've got something worth sharing. We really do. To dive deeper into this, sign up for the 28th of March. Get involved in a small group who are looking at this stuff in depth. And if coronavirus wants to stop, or if Satan wants to stop the 28th of March from happening, well, in faith, it's going to happen. And it would be wonderful if more old people would sign up. The last slide just says something which I think is relevant for us. Just a reminder of the passage we've been in. I appreciate I've not done an expositional message this morning, really. But it says, Jesus says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. With that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Like those first disciples, I wonder how many of us need peace from Jesus today. It could be that we're afraid of mission. It could be that we're afraid of coronavirus or something else. Peace be with you in the name of Jesus. Peace be with us all. How good that his peace, he doesn't give it as the world gives. His peace can be known in the toughest times. His peace passes all understanding. And here's the remedy. When we need peace from Jesus, here's the way we access that peace. As Jesus himself said, receive the Holy Spirit. And what we find when we do that, what we find when we are open to that, is we don't just receive peace. We receive more of the life he wants to impart to us. May our daily prayer be, breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew. That's how we can be fruitful in this mission. That's how we can know and experience the life that Jesus has made possible and calls us to. Just going to pray and then we'll sing our final song.